back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Byron Smith, Prairie View Panthers, SWAC Conference, 7-4 on the year, 6-6-0 in conference play. Coach Smith, good to talk to you again. How's life, man, down there in Prairie View?
Life's good, my friend, and thank you for having me on the show. Always excited to be able to spend some time speaking with you about our program. Obviously, we had a little bit of a pause, which everyone is kind of going through, so it's kind of expected from time to time. But we're dealing with it. We'll be off about a week, and then we'll get back to the floor, and hopefully we can continue our winning ways, in conference play.
Now, Coach, this year's been mirrored with just stops, starts, everybody in the country. And how have your young men persevered through this? You know, you had some games canceled and postponed in the past, but just talk about your team's resolve and your mental makeup of your guys to fight through all this adversity.
Boss, I'm so proud of my guys. I mean, obviously, it's tough. It's tough for us as grown men. You can imagine what it's like for younger young adults that 19, 20, 21 years old that that's all they've ever really had that's been consistent in their life, the love of their family, the support of their family and basketball. I'm pretty sure for as long as they can remember, but not knowing that if you're going to be able to play and, if you're going to be able to practice and, if you're going to, you're off 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, some schools, 36 days. I mean, it's just been very difficult, but I'm really proud of them because the thing that we always talk about with our guys is focus on what you can control. And the things that you can control, every day is your attitude, your effort, and your execution on a daily basis. And we've stayed true to that. And they have done that. I mean, they have really put that in a headlock and made it part of their DNA. And they've answered the call each and every time. The attitude has been great. Energy has been great. Effort's been great. And they've been a tough, resilient bunch. So I'm really proud that they've been able to go through some adversity and come out in a positive way. We still have a ways to go. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. But up until this point, I'm really proud that they've really been able to endure some tough situations, but be able to make the best of it.
And it's a blessing, Coach, to play 11 games so far in this year already, because some schools, like I said, haven't played 3 or 4 games, 5 or 6 games, and they're done, right? So if you get 11 games in, got a little bit on a roll here, kind of building towards that March, because really, that's when it really counts, that SWAC tournament. So I feel like, Coach, even though you're having a pause right now, you guys have an opportunity to build back up that callus, get back in shape again, and make that run you want to make, getting that SWAC, and get that tournament, getting that big dance again.
Absolutely, boss. Tough times don't last, tough people do. And I think that in every adverse situation, there's a positive and there's a silver lining at the end. So, what we're going to make the best of it, of a tough situation. The ones that can make the adjustments in life are the ones that are going to be the most successful, not only in basketball, but just in everyday life. So I feel like up until this point, we've made the adjustments that we've needed to. And I don't see it being any different now with this pause that we're dealing with. And obviously to march down the track and get ready for the second half of the SWAC season. And obviously get ready for hopefully postseason play. Because I think we've got a really strong team and got a chance to have a really, really solid season. So we're looking forward to it. We're just a little disappointed now, but we do feel like it's going to be some positive that come out of this situation.
And, Coach, playing as you play 7 guys, a lot of minutes there, so it could actually help their legs, be fresher down the road, because you kind of run those guys a lot out there. So those 7 top guys you have, I mean, I know it sucks right now, but, hey, you get down to it, you may have a little bit more left than you usually would is that come March there.
Yeah, I've known to be a bit of a taskmaster. I probably would have been that Lou Gossett on Officer and a Gentleman, that tough drill sergeant that pushes everybody, pushes buttons, but really try to get the most of them. So you're right. I think they're going to have a chance to kind of get rejuvenated. We're actually adding a couple pieces too, Loss, which is really good. 2 quality players. Fate Williams, who's been out, with injury, all of conference, a hyperextended knee. When we get back to the floor, he'll be there. Eric Hester is a young man that transferred in from Tallahassee Community College by way of the University of Florida. He played there as a freshman, and he's just gotten eligible here last week. So those are 2 quality players that we're going to add. So I think that'll help them kind of get a little bit more acclimated, get a little bit more practice time before we get back to the floor. But as you mentioned, we do have a short rotation. We do play 7 or 8 guys quite a bit of minutes. So it's going to give them an opportunity to kind of catch their breath, rest a little bit, not a lot, but rest a little bit, because we're still able to practice. Several of our guys are able to practice you know, that are within the time limit of their protocol and their COVID testing. So I do think when we get back out, I think we'll be a fresh group. And I think that down the stretch, I think we're going to be, I think we're one of the top contenders, not making any predictions, but I do like our chances going down the stretch that we can be one of the last teams standing at the end and have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament.
You have a big three guard rotation. I love of Cam, Juwan, and Jeremiah. Tell us about those three young men that you have out there running the guards for you, man. Cause they play really well every night for you. They're shooting threes, defending like crazy, you know, causing trouble, pushing the ball for you guys. So tell us about those three young men you got there, Cam, Jeremiah, and Juwan there.
Well, I'll speak about the Juwan first because he's actually a returner. A lot of people don't realize that. And just to kind of show you the type of players that we've had and the type of talent that we've had over the past few years, Juwan had to take a red shirt last year because he wasn't one of our better players at the wing position. We obviously had the player of the year, Devontae Patterson. We had Gerard Andrus, Chancellor Ellis. So we had guys at his position that he just at that time, you know, he wasn't better than those guys to put it bluntly, but he worked really hard. When he went back home in the summertime, he decided to come back, which I was proud of that because a lot of kids, if they don't play in this day and age, if I don't play right away, I don't have success right away. I'm into the transfer portal.
Oh, yes.
So I'm proud that he just sucked it up and manned up and just went back and continued to work on his game. He came back in with a really positive attitude. He's worked really hard and he's been very productive for us. So really proud of that young man. Jeremiah Gambrell is a young man that I've known since the sixth grade. I've had a relationship with him. You know, I've actually worked with him when he was back in middle school, just kind of, you know, in Houston. You know, his dad and I work out at the same gym. So I've known him for a long time. Great family, unbelievable young man. Went to Western Kentucky, had some injuries and didn't really get a chance to play as much as he wanted. Felt that coming back closer to home would be beneficial because he's extremely close with his family. Just a dynamite player. Jeremiah's got 3 years to play for us. I think he's one of the better shooters in our conference. I think he's got a chance to be an all-conference player, if not this year, definitely in years to come. He's someone that's going to have a big impact in our conference, and especially with our team. But just got the best attitude of almost any of our guys. Easy to work with, very coachable, very team-oriented, great in the locker room, great around campus. So really excited about his impact and what he's going to bring moving forward. Last but not least is Cam Mack, the notorious Cam Mack. Cam is actually a next level kind of player, to be honest with you. I mean, he was bounced around a little bit. You know, sometimes it's all about the fit. It's never been about Cam's talent. I think it's really been about Cam getting into an environment where he fit that helped him, you know, not only physically, but emotionally, mentally. I think that, you know, we've been able to develop a good rapport with Cam, connect with him. I think Cam believes in our staff. And I think that's really important, you know, Boston. First and foremost, when you're dealing with these student athletes, the believe in is the thing that comes first. They have to believe in you as a man.
Oh, yes.
And what you're selling as a staff. The buy-in is second, you know, the system and how you play. That's second. That's secondary. You got to get the believe in first. I think Cam believes in what we're doing and how we are, that we actually care about him. Not saying that other institutions, other places he's been, they didn't care, but I think it was more just about him getting a fit. Now, the basketball part comes easy for Cam. Cam, I'm always on him all the time about getting in that weight room. It's more than just talent, Cam. If it's just about talent, Balls, Cam Mack can play anywhere in the country and can be a starter in any program in the country. I think he's got that type of talent. I think he's got that type of upside. I think Cam has a future in this game beyond Prairie View if he wants to put the work in and start doing some of the other things, you know, the weights, the nutrition, the being in the gym just, you know, hours at a time, the Kobe Bryant way, you know, just continuing to try to be better today than you were yesterday. If Cam can adopt that, the sky's the limit for him. I think right now he's an elite player, one of the better players in our league, one of the best players that we've had at Prairie View at the point guard position since I've been there, and this is my fifth year. So I can go on and on about him, but really happy to have him and just excited to get back on the floor and just see how far we can go with this group. But I'm definitely blessed as a coach to be able to work with quality young men who bring it every day, take care of their academics, and just good citizens, you know, out in our society each and every day.
Well, Coach, Cam needs a guy like you because that's why I feel like he's a great fit because, you know, you're going to be on him and giving me – see, you're real and transparent. See, you know, you and I both know that some guys who – portray real transparent or really not. But you know with Byron Smith where you staying always. So he needs that. And you do it to make him better and make all your guys better. Cause so you being a taskmaster is good because you know it's funny. I always got along better with my coaches who are more taskmasters. I did the one who kind of let me slack. So I've always found a taskmaster really cared more about me because he wanna make me better, not let me just get complacent and comfortable. You're doing what I was doing. So I feel like your guys love you for that as well.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Boston. You're exactly right. And I'm the same way. I came through that old school way of, you know, of getting it and getting the truth and just being, you know, how the young kids say today, being real with them. I think we as leaders, I think we as adults, I think we as mentors, coaches, I think it's our job to give these young people the facts. The choice is theirs, but we have to give them the facts. We have to tell them what's real, what's temporary, and what's fake. And they take it and do with it what they want to do with it. Because my thing is, I always say, I never want a kid to leave my program, and because this is the last stop before he goes out into manhood. Even if this is a professional athlete or just going out to get a job at Walmart or Amazon or wherever, you know, you always want to let them know that, hey, you know, life's not easy. You're not gonna have heaven on earth. You know what I mean? And you're in a blessed position to be where you are. Take it and make the most of it. But I never want a kid to say, come back and say, Coach, man, yeah, you didn't tell me it was going to be like this. Yes, yes, we did. We did tell you. So you got a head start. You have a survival kit when you leave our program. I feel we're an extension of your family and your parents and telling you and reiterating, reinforcing the same things that they should have told you. So, you know, you're right. And we try to do that. And 99% of our kids, they respond to that. They still come back, balls, to our program. They still come back for homecoming. They come back in games, especially if they're close enough. And that makes me feel really good because it makes me feel that, you know, what we sold and what we told them was something that that was true and that they're experiencing it in their everyday life, you know, obviously in the workforce, or becoming a husband, becoming a father. It's just so much that they're getting ready to take on. And we just want to make sure that they're prepared. And I feel really good about myself and our staff, in our institution and our department, that we do a pretty good job of helping these young men transition from boys to men.
And Coach, you know, it's so funny for me, coaches are the one who've molded me, Coach. You know, for me, it was Frankie Allen, Cy Alexander, mm-hmm. who helped me in my mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. taught me off the record. Even Will Jones, we're close in age, but he helped me as well, right? So all these different guys through sports, from 5 years old, freaking out his basketball camp, 5 years old, his basketball camps, Tennessee State, to now. All the lessons I was taught as a young man have helped mold me to the man I am today, to be a leader in my community, and to be a good boyfriend, a leader, a mentor, a friend, a father figure, to many, many multiple kids that I don't have any kids myself, but I have a bunch of them in the community here in Atlanta. So I feel like, mm-hmm. like you said, the right coach, the right mindset with a coach helps you as a young man be a better community leader. When you leave for me, TSU, for you, Prairie View, for you, and wherever else in the SWAC. So I feel like it's so important for young men to choose a coach who really cares, who really wants to mold them beyond just doing stuff for them. Which I know you want to win games, but winning the game of life is more important, in my opinion, Coach.
Absolutely. You're so right, Boston. And I tell you, like that old saying, you know, we all live by it. You know, that takes a village to raise a child. And we're all extensions of you know, of doing the right things and parents and things of that nature. So I'm the same way. You know, I've had a lot of people that have, you know, had a lot to do with my development, you know, as a young man, and I'm still learning, and I still surround myself around people that are positive, that have been to places that I haven't gone, because I think it's beneficial. I think it helps. You know, one of the things that I try to do, you know, boss, with my young people is that I try to share my experiences. And I think when you do that, you can never be wrong. And when you start giving opinions and giving advice, that's when you can kind of get yourself in a little bit of trouble. Well, Coach, you told me this. No, I shared with you that when I was your age or when I went through this similar experience that you're talking about, this is kind of how I handled it. It's positive, but it kind of keeps you from, you know, putting yourself in a tough spot. Because like I said, when you give opinions and advice, sometimes it can kind of go against you. But we just try to share our experiences and thankful that we've been able to go through some things and have deal with some adversity and come out on the other side of it and be in a position where you can kind of give back. Because what it is all just by giving back. And you know, you just named some very impactful people, you know, the Coach Alexanders and, you know, Frankie Allens, and obviously Will Jones is on his way to, looks like, stardom. You know, you named some really impactful people, and I had some of those same people in my life. So I want to be that. I mean, I want to be a pillar. I want to be someone that they can look back and they can mention my name. Not that he won championships or he did this and that, but he told me some things that that resonated with me. And 10 years down the track, I thought about what Coach Smith said. And you know what, Coach, you know, you were exactly right. Some of the things you said to me, man, are, you know, really happening in my life right now. And that's when you know you've done a good job and you've been able to reach that young person.
And Coach, you know, for me, going to Nashville and several towns since to see my mother, you know, getting to meet Carlos Rogers, Anthony Mason, you know, Monty Wilson, and have these guys still be in my life years later because of going to see my mother in summertime in Nashville for basketball camp, Frankie Allen's camp. I met all his players. Right. And I didn't go to TSU because of that. That's why I went there, because of going as a kid, leaving Atlanta, go see my mom in summertime. I didn't go to school here in Georgia. No, I could have.
Right.
I chose to go there because I was used to that campus as from a 5-year-old on up. So just even going to basketball camps, which are so minute, but that started me on my path, Coach, to being in sports and media after college. So I feel like it all works. It's all a cycle, Coach. It all has a purpose. Anything you do, Coach, even as a 5-year-old, my mother's vision for me had a purpose then.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that. You know, I grew up in Bossier City, Louisiana, so it's the real country, if you will. But I went to the University of Houston. But when I was in the eighth or ninth grade, you know, I was watching, you know, a team that was pretty dynamic that, you know, everybody was ranting and raving about. It was Phi Slamma Jamma at the University of Houston. And they had Clyde Drexler and, you know, Michael Young, the great Akeem Olajuwon, you know, and Alvin Franklin, all those guys. But it was so funny that when I came to the University of Houston, you know, I looked up to those guys so much as an eighth, ninth grader, 10th grader, wanted to be what they were. And then I ended up being surrounded by these guys. Ended up coaching, my first coaching, Division I coaching job was on Clyde Drexler's staff at the University of Houston. Michael Young is still like a big brother to me right now, was in my wedding. You know, he and I spent so much time together, you know, and we're still extremely close. So, you know, just, you know, like you said, the Carlos Rogers and Anthony Mason, seeing those guys at a younger age than what I saw Clyde and Mike, but just, you know, those guys made me wanted to be a Houston Cougar, wanted me to, you know, that was my dream school. Everybody wants to go to LSU growing up in Louisiana, but the University of Houston was my dream school to go to. And I was blessed, you know, by the grace of God to get an opportunity to do that and just come in contact with these people, the greats back then, and just how they inspired me and had a huge impact on my basketball life. And then obviously getting to know these guys and spending time around them as young men, definitely got some great life lessons from those guys. And they, you know, they're a little bit older than I was, but they were mentors to me, you know, in my late 20s. Early 20s as a player, and then late 20s when I was around those guys working with them on the staff. And it's the same thing that we're trying to do right now. It's just takes a village, but just being able to have an impact, you know, a few words that you may say, you don't know if that's the difference in a young person going the right way or not going the right way. So, you know, we have a tremendous responsibility, and we don't always know that people are watching, young people are watching, you know, our move, almost our every move. So we have to be an outstanding example, a shining light, and be a picture of consistency for these young people. So they can not necessarily go out and be like you, but maybe some of what you have done will impact them and they can get out and be productive in society. And once we do that again, I feel the job is done with that particular young man.
You got that right, Coach. I told Coach, Coach Allen, I remember you told me I was 7 years old, Coach, and I still remember this stuff to this day. He's like, you remember that? I said, yes, I do. That's how much impact it had on me as a 7-year-old. Seeing you every summer, spending weeks with you every summer, I learned a lot, you know? So for me, I love being around basketball and football because it taught me so much, Coach. And I'll tell you this, I'll tell you this too. It taught me about different cultures because being in the hood of Atlanta, I didn't see white people. So playing Chapel baseball, I got to meet white kids, Hispanic kids, Asian kids, because I just wanted to win and go leave the hood for a weekend, keep playing baseball. I didn't care about who color and race. I just wanted to win the game. I love my dad, but I want to get out of the hood for the weekend and go travel. Yes. So absolutely. It's like sports is just such a great vehicle to teach you about life and culture and diversity of all kinds.
It is. I mean, it's you know, and it's just something. It breaks down all racial barriers. I'll be very blunt and just say that, you know, because sports brings all walks of life together, you know, different socioeconomic groups, black, white, Latin, Hispanic, Asian, it just doesn't matter. And when you're out there competing and you have the same goal, nothing matters. How much money you have, what type of car, what type of house, none of that stuff matters. You're focused on that one particular goal. And then you know, the more you're around that person, you start to realize that, you know what, just because a kid may have more than you, everybody's dealing with the same thing. We're all trying to make it. We're all trying to make baseball or football or basketball or track or whatever the case may be. We're all trying to make it, a part of our, our everyday life. We want to do it. We want to see how far we can go with it. You know, so everybody's sharing the same bond. Everybody's sharing the same goal. You develop a bond. And I think that's the one thing. Sports is so pure. I mean, there's politics in it and things like that when it comes to the hiring phases and things like that and trying to make it to the NBA. There's things that come into it. But when you're young and you're being molded, again, it breaks down all racial barriers. It's a great point you make. And it did that for me, too. It's taken me all over the world as a former professional player and, you know, Australia and Greece and Turkey, so many different places. And, you know, it just makes it so easy to be able to get to know someone, to be able to acclimate. Because nothing else matters than when you're out there participating in that particular sport. It's a beautiful thing. And I've got, you know, again, I'm a little bit like you in Bossier City. It was a pretty kind of a segregated area. I think I'm a little bit older than you are. Pretty segregated area where everybody kind of stuck to their particular groups. But sports brought that out. And when I left Louisiana, I didn't have a lot of experience in dealing with, you know, multiple races and things like that. But the more that I did, the more I stayed with the game and got a chance to travel and do things. I've got some really good relationships in all walks of life and all different nationalities. And I feel really good about that because in the true essence of being a Christian, that's what it's all about. You know, love see no color. Racism, it kills all of us. It hurts all of us. And obviously right now, not to preach, boss, but we're in a very sensitive racial climate good, right coach? Now where a lot of things are going on right now. But I do know that, as an athlete, I still think that we're unified. And from the professional level to the college level to AAU high school, you know, that stuff doesn't bother us. We don't get into that, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. So sports is a tremendous platform for us to be able to get out and to be able to help and to be able to, you know, make this world a better place. I think that's why such an emphasis on sports. Obviously, there's a lot of money involved in it, but I just think that, you know, we all have a platform. You know, you and your role, me and my role. You know, the LeBron Jameses. You know, the Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Tom Brady's. I mean, everybody that's in a sports forum right now, you know, they've got a tremendous voice. And I think this country has leaned on athletes and sports a lot to be able to help us get through some tough times. I feel real good to be part of the sports culture. I feel really good, and I'm going to do all that I can to make it better and then continue to put out some good work and spread love, you know, instead of hate and dissension and malice, you know, just to try to make this place a better world for us to live in. I think it's just a beautiful thing that sports has a huge, huge, huge part in our world right now today.
And coach, we're so blessed because for you and I both grown up in marginalized environments. For me, I grew up 2 miles from Clark Atlanta University at Morehouse and then Morris Brown. So I'm in the shadows of the Georgia Dome and the Omni. And I could never afford to go to the Omni or the Georgia Dome to watch the Falcons play a game or the Braves right. Turner Field. But now, through the grace of God and my hard work and dedication, I can go cover those teams, go there whenever I want to. But when I was a child, my dad couldn't afford to take me. And I'm right here. I can throw a rock at it, you know? Right. So that's the blessings of God, how the essence of this hard work and dedication and just really having that want to. And want to succeed no matter what it's thrown at you for you and myself. It's ever for a lot of listeners and your players and my people around my little mentees I have here in Atlanta that we can, even though we've grew up in quote-unquote not so great environments, we still overcame it and were successful in our craft and in what we wanted to do with our lives, and which is make a difference and be service to people.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point that you make. And that's the thing that part of the responsibility of where we are now, where I am now, is to share that with young people, as many people that will listen, that, you know, it's not always where you start. It's kind of where you finish, where you end up. Set your goals high. And some of the things that you may dream about right now can become a reality if you do the right thing. And if you take care of your academics, if you take care of your, working as hard as you possibly can and whatever it is that you choose to do, it can be basketball, football, it can be tennis, it could be hockey, whatever the case may be, put your best and try to be the best at it. And I share that with all kids and live right, you know, and you haven't truly lived until you've helped someone else. Be a blessing to someone. You know, when people see you coming, they got a smile on their face as opposed to when you're leaving. You know, all these things matter. And you know what? If you do all those things, you work hard and you keep God first. Once again, the things that you dream about as a kid and you say, man, I wish that can become a reality. It can happen. It's happened for you. and you sharing your story right now, and it's happened for me on several different fronts. And I still think that there's more for us out there. So you and I have to continue to be positive and continue to try to share our experiences and to try to help impact these young people the best that we possibly can.
And coach, you know, people ask me all the time, coach, why would you interview a SWAT coach or a MEAC coach or whatever? I said, because I'm a black man in America. They need a platform. Because if I don't cover you all, who else going to do it? Because you all, who here, what we was talking about today, sharing our stories about our backgrounds, who would ever cover you like we're doing today with no commercials, no hard outs, just to talk about it freely. You know, so right. This platform is to help black coaches, black schools, black community hear our stories. Because, no, coach, you know this. It's not like cover us when something bad happens. You know that.
That's true. Right.
You know, if it's a scandal or something bad, there'll be a Prairie View, Tennessee State, Texas Southern, Mississippi Valley State, whatever. As long as something, if something's good happening, we don't care. So I want to be the platform that even a random February day, Black History Month, still talk to Coach Smith because I want to hear about Prairie View and talk about life with him. Because that's why I do it, coach. People ask me all the time, why? You just cover the Hawks, the Braves, but I have a bigger calling. So put my I'm an HBCU graduate. I want to give you all a platform where you know it's safe and secure. You can talk freely about your program and share your stories without bias and without narrative. You know what I'm saying?
That's a beautiful thing, and I appreciate you. I always appreciate you for having me, and it does give me a platform. It's helping me grow in this business as well. I mean, I've got a lot to learn. I think we've accomplished quite a bit at Prairie View, but we have a ways to go, and I think I've still got a lot to learn. It's kind of that mentality, you know, and I don't look at it in a negative way, but I always tell people that, you know, no matter where you go, how high you go, always send the elevator back down for someone else, and that's kind of what you're doing now in at the platform that you have. Not saying that we're on the bottom. It could be, you could be on the 12th floor and I'm on the 11th floor, but send the elevator back down to the 11th floor, you know, to help somebody. So, you know, if we all stick to that and if we all, you know, if that becomes, you know, who we are and that becomes not just our words, but becomes our mindset, I think we're going to continue to thrive. And I think things are going to get better for us as a people and not just color. It's not always about color. It's you know, you got some Hispanic people out there that are trying to make, have an opportunity to move, you know, to be a minority coach, you know, in the NFL, the NBA, you know, you've got, you know, people from Europe, you know, it's more than just us as black people. It's just the next person. It's the next man up, you know, each one, teach one, extend a hand to your brother because we're all God's people. And I can say once again, he doesn't see color. I mean, he doesn't see color. He made all of us in his image and his likeness. And he doesn't favor anyone over the other. Sometimes society, you know, they give their own version of it. And they write their own truths and things like that. But according to the book that you and I read, you know, the Bible, you know, God's not into that. You know what I mean? And he's into everybody. He loves all of us. We're all his children. He wants the best for all of us. So if we will continue, you know, and not just let this time right now, boss, be a moment, but let it be a movement in terms of, you know, positivity and trying to help. If this will continue 10, 15, 20 years down the track, you know, I don't know, maybe I may not be around to see it, but, you know, my children will and their children will. And this world can just be a better place because I think there's room for it to be better. And my hope and prayer is that it will continue to improve and it'll be a better place in the end.
And coach, I'll tell you this openly, I've had to fight, you know, people above my head about who I have on my show because of they wanted me to only cover certain things. And no, ain't going to happen because, coach, I'm going to tell you what happens. Right. I own the content. You just play it on your station, but I give you the content. So you don't tell me who I want to have on my show. So that's why
it's I like that.
So you make a phone call. Why don't you talk to XYZA? Because I want to. Is that you just play the show. You don't own the content. I do. So I can talk to Byron Smith, whoever I talk to, and I want to do it. So that's why, coach, I'll never forget where I came from and who I need to cover because the little guy's important because they have ESPN for the big guys. But I don't want the Swati Lawson shuffle, nor the MEAC or the OVC. I want everybody to have a shot. And if I'm the conduit for it, and God gave me this platform to do it, I'm on you. Mm-hmm. I'm serving you guys. It's not about you. It's about you guys and your programs. Young men need to hear about your programs. This just show goes globally now, coach, because the digital platforms on demand, it goes beyond our affiliates now. It's global.
Right.
So a kid may hear it 3 weeks from now, Byron mm-hmm. Smith's a great guy. I'm looking perfect right now. So, Coach, absolutely, it all works itself out. And God's mm-hmm. the technology that God's given us in this world, man.
Yes.
It's amazing, mm-hmm. Coach.
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, Coach, last one for you, man, before you go today, man. Mm-hmm. As you are for Black History Month, what's been your message to your players about Black History Month and they're really teaching about different figures and little known facts here? How's that been for you guys so far? Is it something you're going to keep on doing as the month progresses, teaching your guys about the history of their history being in Prairie View down there in Walla County?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, boss, I appreciate it. You know, yeah, I'm a Black historian, you know, and Black History Month is every month for Byron Smith, you know, and I'm always talking about the pioneers and the pillars of life, not just in sport, you know, but I'm always talking to them about, you know, some of my heroes, you know, Muhammad Ali, Julius Irving, you know, those are people that impacted me at a very young age and helped to shape and mold me into the person, you know, that I am today. And just from a confidence standpoint and believing in myself and things of that nature, that's what I got from those guys, how to carry yourself with Dr. J and be able to articulate and be able to, you know, be a person that people wanted to hear from and things like that, because he had a positive message and things like that. So, you know, for me, every month is Black History Month, and I'm always sharing with these guys and just trying to educate them and get them to turn their computers on. And I always usually give them someone to look up. You know what I mean? It's not a modern day guys, usually someone probably at or before they were born, just to try to give them a broader perspective as to, you know, what this deal is all about. And some of the people that have kind of laid the foundation, but not only your coach, but laid the foundation for you, your parents, things of that nature. So I think that's important. So we continue to talk. We continue to try to educate. We continue to try to teach the game of basketball. That's what we're there to do. But more importantly, the game of life, and just give them some nuggets that they'll be able to take out into the real world when this ball stops bouncing, because it's going to stop bouncing probably a lot sooner than what they realize. They all think they're going to the NBA. I hope that they do, but they all think they're going to the NBA and tell me it's only 420 jobs, you know, and you got millions and millions from everywhere that are trying to compete for it, but the ball is going to stop bouncing. But when it does stop bouncing, life doesn't stop bouncing. You don't stop bouncing. You're able to bounce into something else and transition into life. So I think where you came from is a big part of where you're going, and knowing who you are, knowing who you are and whose you are so important. So yeah, we continue to teach and share, inspire, and make these people aware of things that I think are important to where they are today and where they're going. Because we can't always count that they're going to pick up, certain books and read things like that, or do research. But we're always trying to do that for them. So yeah, to answer your question, we'll continue to try to share as much as we possibly can about some of our leaders, some of the greatest people in the world, are the African American people. So we want them to know about that, and all of them that didn't dribble a basketball either, which is really important.
Oh yes, Coach, share with your players about Robert Church, the man who saved Memphis. Tell them about Robert Church. They'll love that story of Robert Church.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Robert Church. I'll make note of that.
I'm sharing that with my interns right now, next week, about Robert Church. Okay. So they can be able to hear, that's your project interns. Robert Church is weird. It's your project. We used to the show, it's your project, you. Robert Church. So, Coach, Coach, thank you for your time as always. It's good to catch up with you, Coach. I wish your players the best of luck and you all getting healthy real soon, man. I'll be cheering for you as always, man.
Boss, always a pleasure, man. You're a quality guy. And anytime you, need me, just give me a holler. I really enjoy spending time in on your show, okay?
Sure will, Coach. Thanks so much, buddy. Be safe now.
Take care. You too.
All right.